From Bigfoot to ghosts, aliens to the afterlife, this is Nightcast. And now, here is your host, Ian Morris.
Good evening. Welcome to the night. Thanks once again for joining us. Well, they have been feared for centuries, thought to be the embodiment of all evil, scorned, shunned, persecuted, tortured, and put to death by burning for their beliefs and practices. Tonight on Nightcast, we're talking about witches and witchcraft, the difference between Wiccans, witches, and pagans. And joining us this evening tonight on Nightcast is a witch investigator, Dee Jones from Hartford, Connecticut. Dee, welcome to Nightcast.
Thank you so much, Ian, for having me tonight.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Dee.
Well, I am from Hartford, Connecticut. I have actually been studying witches for quite some time now. My studies have actually taken me all around the world, from New England to Austria to Germany to even the United States, Massachusetts, and even my own hometown, Connecticut.
How long have you been a witch investigator?
I have been doing this for about 10 years now.
For 10 years. And do you stay in the United States? Now, you said you've been to Austria, some other places.
I've been to Germany as well.
Do you find a variation in the witches that you've seen in the different countries?
I believe that from my research and the people that I've encountered and met, it really depends on their culture and what they believe in as far as how they treat their magic and their witchcraft and their abilities and their stories as well. I feel like that all plays a role into how they react towards the world.
Now, witchcraft goes back, well, some 35,000 years, as they found drawings or etches in caves, not only in France, but where they believe the origin to be is in Ireland, particularly Celtic witches. Have you done any investigation or any insight into the Celtic witches?
I actually have not had the chance to visit Ireland yet, and that is actually probably going to be my next destination.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of the groups that you say that you've investigated.
Well, one of the last places that I have visited was actually in New England, and I encountered many women actually who were housing together, and they were actually trying to teach each other what their other abilities are and also how to maintain them, control them, and the proper use for what they believe in.
Now, I know there's a difference between Wicca and witches, as well as pagans. This sounds like maybe they are Wiccas. Now, Wiccas can be of the witch origin, or they can just be practicing things similar. They're considered a religion, even within the U.S. military. Were these Wiccas or were these actually true witches?
I believe I want to say it is a mixture of both. This house actually does not discriminate against anyone who has a special ability. They actually do foster in these people because, as you know, back in the past, they're notorious for not being welcomed in the towns. They were burned at the stake. I mean, they really went through some horrific events just for being themselves. So I do believe they could find a little bit of both, or maybe possibly different types of people throughout the throughout coming years.
Well, you said that they're not welcome, and that has been going on since time has begun, because back in the Celtic region, when they would find the witches, their way of dealing with them was to behead them or decapitate them, or what they found in some of the graves of the witches is that they would remove the mandible or the jaw. And the reason they did that was so that the witches could no longer speak and cast spells.
Yes, that is actually, I have heard about that, and some of it is correct. Actually, with the house that I was visiting, they actually did let me know that they have their own rules within themselves that they have to follow. They have their own guidelines. And if a witch actually does cross a certain boundary, they are also put up at the stake, but that all has to be a unanimous decision within their own realm.
Wait, so what you're telling me is that they have their own form of punishment and it involves killing them?
It does. And it's probably because of the severity of their own abilities, to be honest. You have people who can manifest within their own energy their magical powers, or through rituals, or through books, things like that. I mean, it can just make this one person extremely, extremely powerful. So how are we going to contradict one with the other? They actually do have one main head person that does oversee everyone.
Now, Dee, that would be contradictory to the law. That would, I guess, be considered murder, wouldn't it?
I would think so, but I feel like the witches have already their own kind of society, and they have most likely excluded themselves and isolated themselves because they are not welcome in the normal society. If they were to use their own powers on the everyday street, they might be shunned, looked upon as being weird, or they're probably going to think that they're being possessed by the devil. I mean, there's a lot of things and the negative connotations that can be brought onto witches, and it's their fear. So I believe that they've already constructed their own society in order to remain alive because they don't feel like a lot of them are surviving.
I know that this may be a sensitive issue, but the group that you were studying at this particular location, had they committed any of these punishments?
Actually, yes. They do keep record. They actually replace their head person about every couple of years. Someone will eventually show stronger power than someone else. And since they are intaking new people, they go ahead and let somebody else actually take the reins. But some people actually aren't okay with giving up power, and that's where the problems begin, and which is why they have to be so severe in their own practices.
And how do they get away with it? How do they hide the fact that they have executed someone?
Within their own powers, really. One of the witches had actually told me about there was this woman, and they had actually set her up. She was a witch, and she was in the house, but she was set up by another witch in the house, and she actually got burned at the stake. As soon as she turned into ash, there really was no other remnants of her or history. And I guess we can say that the worst part about it is that they can go ahead and cover it up within their own other powers that they possess.
Do they cast a spell or something like that to cover that?
They are capable of casting spells, but they cannot actually use their energy just in front of you. They can just wave their hand in front of you, and you're going to be thinking something different, or maybe they'll erase a part of your memory. So they really do possess a lot of different abilities, and you never know what you're going to get, and you're not going to know that they actually used it on yourself.
So they possess the ability for mind control?
They can use rituals in order to do that, yes.
As in they can wipe out something from your mind?
Yes, that was previously there before. Yes, they can.
Yeah, so they actually do possess mind control in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. But the people that I had visited, though, they actually do use their powers for good. They want to be a part of society. They want to be accepted just like everybody else does. But since they've already been persecuted and had such a terrible history, that's why they're trying to isolate themselves and just grow as a community and still not inflict harm upon anybody else. And they actually try to stop the harm that happens in the house.
Now, the term witch, which then spawned the term Wicca, means wise one, the wise one. And is this why they were kind of cast out, because they were looked at as having more knowledge or more ability than what the average population had?
Yes, definitely. I do definitely think that played a role in their isolation. There was actually, and even some of these people, I was actually told by one of the witches in the house of this person who had actually sold her soul to the devil to gain immortality and powers. People will do a lot of unordinary things just to get power.
Now, this group, how many were in this group?
There was about 11 or 12 women, and of all ages as well.
But there were no men. I know they don't like to use the term warlock, because warlock means someone who has broken the oath. And I believe they use that for male witches, if it were, that have broken the oath. But there were no males in this group.
No, there were no males in this group, but I did encounter a male that had acquired his power through, once again, giving up his soul, actually.
Okay, because I'm a little bit confused, because the Wicca religion is supposedly not satanic.
Yes.
But when you mention giving up their soul, that kind of indicates that perhaps there is an element of that.
I feel like there might be. There was none of that in the house that I was at, but at this other location in Germany, that's where I encountered that male. I feel like that's where it probably came from.
But there's a very high ratio of female to male witches. Is that correct?
I believe so, unless there are men that just don't want to say that they have special abilities, but the men that I have encountered have actually given things up in order to get power.
Is there a power difference between female witches and male witches?
No, actually. There are a lot of different types of powers that one may possess. You could either be able to read minds, or you might be able to move objects, or you might be able to, you know, take a look at a spell book and create something, or let's say inflict harm upon somebody else. Or actually, there was a witch that could actually bring things to life. You know, I really do feel like whatever your ability is and what your power is, you use it to your own advantage.
They can bring things to life.
Yes, there was this witch that I was actually told of many, many years ago. And if something had passed away, all she had to do was touch it and it would come back.
Incredible. Well, Dee, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to be asking you about some of the symbols of witches. I'm Ian Morris. We'll be back.
This is Nightcast.
Back from break, I'm Ian Morris. This is Nightcast. This evening, our guest joining us is Dee Jones from Hartford, Connecticut. Dee is a witch and witchcraft investigator. Dee, can you tell us some of the symbols that go with witchcraft and witches?
Yeah, some of the symbols that I have encountered actually through other witches, were actually nice enough to show me some of their work, are actually pentacles and pentagrams. This is actually very commonly used within the witches.
Dee, what's the difference between a pentacle and a pentagram?
Well, the pentacle is surrounded by a circle. You will have your 5 points, and it'll have a circle surrounding it, and there is actually a meaning for each. Each point has a significance, the first one being spirit, air, earth, fire, and water.
So each point stands for one of those.
Yes, it does. It represents each of those But we can go ahead and move over to the pentagram, actually. And that one is, you could either consider that one drawn or written. And that is actually considered to be the five wounds of Christ.
Okay, so this is where it gets a little confusing, because we're talking about witchcraft, but yet there was a religious aspect in the beginning. Didn't that come from the Knights of the Round Table back in England?
Yes, it actually did. It came from Sir Gawain.
Sir Gawain.
Yes. He actually had the pentagram on his shield.
And that was for protection, wasn't it?
Yes. They do use this for protection.
So there was knights that were Christian, but yet had the pentagram on their shield for protection.
Yes, it's actually kind of funny how that works out, because for some reason it was more acceptable for the knights as it was for the witches, as we can see.
And it represented each point, instead of representing like a paganistic or earthly thing like it did in the pentacle, each one would represent one of the wounds of Christ.
Yes, that is correct.
And, you know, I had heard that when in early Christianity, they didn't really mind this witchcraft or Wicca. But when it became, how would I put this? When the witches were doing their witchcraft and actually healing people, the church found that offensive because they wanted to be the ones that healed people. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And that is most likely where the fear came from for the witches, actually. The churches are the ones that are supposed to be on top. They are the ones dictating how life is run, how families should be run. They dictate the culture. And here we have witches who are actually coming in and committing miracles merely by being themselves and using the energies and abilities that they were given.
Is that the difference between, say, the witches that were doing spells that were bad and the witches that that are known as white witches that do good?
The witches that I have encountered that are considered white witches, the ones that I have spoken to have actually found their abilities within themselves. They've grown within their own lives, have been growing up and noticed that different things, weird things that are unusual have started to happen to them. And of course, as any young child gets scared of new things, and especially things that they aren't spoken about, and these white witches actually were able to control their own powers and use it for good.
Dee, have you ever had a white witch do anything for you, do any type of spell or healing for you?
No, actually. I feel like that is a completely different territory that I would not want to cross, because there is a fine line between good witchcraft and bad witchcraft, to be honest.
Have you seen any of the witches? I mean, did they allow you to do or to sit in on any of their spells or any of their meetings or anything?
No, they're actually, all their practices are very, very private. And even being within the room, you're actually giving off a different type of energy as well. And you are considered, if you are in there, you are considered to be part of a witch. So if you are not, then you should not be in there.
How far in did you get to go?
I was welcomed by the witches as far as going into their home, and, you know, they were happy and they were nice enough to speak with me and just give me a little run through of their culture and guidelines and the way that they work and where they see themselves in the future, really. But other than that, I personally, as a personal opinion, I would not want to have anything to do with the performance of witchcraft, because, like I said, for me, there's a very fine line within reaching the white good witch and the bad.
Can one become a witch, or do you just have to be born with it? Is it hereditary? Is it a thing that...
I believe these people are born with it. These are abilities that have been crossed over through generations, and it's really hard to see how far back, because people were so afraid to tell people about their abilities.
I've seen online where they're actually recruiting in certain things, and of course I don't know how valid this is and how real it is, but I've seen online where they actually try to recruit people, and it's not necessarily just the Wicca, the religion, it's actually witches and witchcraft. And they say, you know, if you're interested, you know, you can explore more and we'll help you and whatever. Is that valid, or according to the investigations that you've done, is that valid?
According to my investigations, no, that is not valid. from the stories that I have heard from people in the past, if a person just like you and me want to obtain some kind of unnatural power that does not belong to us, you do have to give something up. And a lot of the people that I've spoken to have said that these people either give up their souls or a child, or they have to sacrifice something in order to get something back.
Well, then, in a way, it does sound satanic. Is it satanic?
I don't want to say that it is satanic because of the purpose that they are here for. They don't mean harm. They don't want to be excluded. They just want to be able to use the natural ability that they have. If I'm able to sing, I'd love to be a singer. If they have a special power where they can go ahead and let's say bring someone back from the dead, then they'd like to use that. And I'm sure there'd be tons of people that would be really happy with those types of abilities. But this is very unnatural, and it's a topic that's not researched more. So it really instills fear in a lot of people, and they don't know how powerful one can get and what the outcome of that really could be.
Now, Dee, were you afraid to let them do a spell for you? Did you not want to get involved with them for fear that they would have you at that point? Or what was your motivation for not wanting to really get that involved?
My fear is that I feel like it's a can of worms that you're opening that might not be able to close, because the witch world really does pertain to the spirit world as well. And I cannot see spirits. I don't know if they're around us or not, but there are witches that actually can and who have said that they are all around us. And we really don't know how much power these spirits do and do not have. And I feel like that's a boundary I'm not willing to cross, because once a spirit gets attached to you, it's going to be very difficult for them to go away. And until they complete their purpose, they might end up just ruining your life.
Now, the witches that are portrayed, say, like during Halloween, of course, and they try to make them ugly and all that, you know, the big nose, the wart, all that. What did these witches look like? I mean, now I know you've investigated various different groups of witches, but as a general description, what would just the average witch look like?
The average witch today looks just like you and me. They really don't have any differences. As I know that there's that common stereotype of the hat and the nose and the broom and the black dress. That's all stereotypical, and that is not what I have seen in my research.
Now, there's folklore of witches in virtually every country in the world. I've done some investigation on, even out on in the middle of the Pacific, out on the Cook Islands, there's stories of witches, and they hand it down. It has to be handed down from mother to daughter. These witches that you encountered, again, was this handed down to them?
I believe it was handed down just through being born, really. It either skips a generation or it follows through the generations, and it's up to that person to either use their abilities or to stay quiet and just let them be.
Can anyone get out of it?
No. From what I have, from my experiences and the people that I've spoken to, this is something that you're born with, and it will be with you until the day you die.
Now, there's a calendar, I believe I saw at one time, with certain days on it that are celebrated by witches, or certain, yeah, just as there would be in any religion, there's certain special days. And did these witches celebrate like special occasions?
These witches would actually celebrate some sort of special occasions, such as a new witch encountering their new ability, or for the house to sit down and to name a new head witch. These are practices that they do and celebrate on.
How long does the head witch get to be the head witch?
The head witch gets to be the head witch until her powers slowly become diminished. And it appears that another witch, actually, whoever has the stronger power, will be the leader.
So with time, I was unaware of this, with time their powers diminish?
Yes, actually, some of them do. Some of them actually pass away because of their loss of energy.
Do they have like the ability of, well, I'm just going to pick a random, do they have the ability of becoming invisible if they want?
They have, some of them do. It really, really depends on the person. A lot of people have like, let's say, shape-shifting, for example. Some of them can turn themselves into another object, and some of them can, or some of them can transport themselves from this side of the room to the other side of the room. I mean, it really depends on the person. You're never going to find the same type of magic twice, or the intensity, the level, or what goes into it.
Have you personally seen them do this?
No, that is actually a private practice, and they do not allow outsiders that aren't fully within the guidelines.
It sounds like a very closed community.
It is. And it's very understandable, though, once again, when we look back at the past and their persecution and the hardships that they've had to face just for being themselves. I was told actually by one of the other people that I have met that one of the witches had received warning. She actually was able to see spirits, and she had received a warning that the next town had already become infested with disease, and he was trying to warn the next town. So she actually saw the spirit, but nobody else knew that she actually had this ability. So when it came time for her to try to save this town, she was actually looked upon as satanic, and they actually did kill her. And shortly after, they found out that the disease was actually on its way to their town, and the entire town actually ended up diminishing themselves. So had they actually taken the advice of this witch, things might have been a little different.
Well, Dee, when we come back, I'm going to ask you a little more about diseases and witchcraft. I'm Ian Morris. We'll be right back.
Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com. This is Nightcast.
Back from break. If you'd like to be a guest on Nightcast, you can email us at nightcast@radiob88.com, or you can go to our website at radiob88 and go to the Be a Guest page. We're back with our guest, Dee Jones, the witch investigator from Hartford, Connecticut. Dee, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the shape-shifting that witches do?
Yes, actually, a typical form for the witches to shapeshift is actually turning into a black cat, and that is actually where our superstition comes from.
So they turn into black cats. Do they do that to hide or to move about?
They do. Like I said, their natural abilities are not accepted, and they like to give themselves a heads up if trouble is coming their way. So in order for them to basically sneak around and find ways to get into town to find out more information, they turn themselves into black cats, actually, to get that information.
So that whole Halloween thing about the black cat, that's where that came from, huh?
Yes, that is where that came from.
Very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about diseases. Some of the diseases that we are currently experiencing, in particular bad ones. Now, a lot of bad things get blamed on the witches, and some of the current diseases that are currently going around, There are some people that are blaming those on witches. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Actually, I have heard through several people and actually several sites as well that the types of diseases that are being blamed on these witches are actually AIDS and Ebola.
AIDS and Ebola, that's going around, well, that's a very big concern right now. Do you think that could be a witchcraft thing?
Honestly, I do not think that it could be a witchcraft thing if someone was that angry to try to bestow that much evil upon the entire world. I think it would have already been done yet.
Is that because well, Ebola originated in Africa and there's a lot of voodoo that goes on in Africa, you know, witch doctor, quote, witch doctors. And maybe that is why that's being blamed on witchcraft. The unexplained is always blamed on witches.
True. And like I said, there's the white witch and the obviously the bad, but voodoo, I feel like, does not play a role with the witches at all. That is something completely and totally different.
If in fact, say, Ebola was created by witches or was cast as a spell, could a white witch do a counterspell to take that away?
Actually, no. Whoever that magic belongs to, they're the only ones who are able to take that magic away.
Are there witches that have stronger witchcraft than other witches? Well, you say it fades with time.
Yes, but there are other witches that are stronger than the others, but they have to constantly keep sacrificing things in order to keep themselves at that level.
If one came upon a witch whose powers or whatever were fading away, and that particular witch cast a spell on them, could they then go to another white witch because that's a weak spell? Could that be broken, or is that just completely not heard of?
That is not something that I have heard of, but I have heard of witches who try to kill other witches in order to gain their energy and their power.
So it seems as though there's a lot of killing going on. Now, this is all hearsay for you. You've not witnessed.
Oh, yes, definitely. This is the research that I have conducted, speaking with a lot of people. And, of course, a lot of actually the killings that I have heard of have been about back in the day throughout, like, Salem times and so forth. It has not been very recent, and they actually do not like to perform things like that. But when it gets to that extent, sometimes a harsh punishment like that is required.
I'm surprised that they would tell you that. How did you get them to tell you that?
I actually spent about maybe 2 or 3 months visiting with them. They actually have a little separate cottage right there with them, and I asked if I could actually stay there just to conduct some research, and we got to know each other and to a level, and I actually got to learn a lot from them.
Now, Dee, if they didn't allow you to see spells, they didn't allow you to witness, how do you know they were for real?
That is a great question. I really do feel that their energy just speaks for themselves. Even speaking with them and seeing their abilities, I have not, in fact, seen anything in front of me. But they do perform things throughout the house, and I can't see those. And it does feel real to me. I do believe that these people exist, and that their abilities should actually be looked upon as maybe something that we could all work with, and maybe they could help us resolve some issues going on here.
Is it like an aura that they have that you detect, or?
Yes, it is. It's a feeling. It's the atmosphere and the environment. It's completely different than, you know, going into a bar, for example. These people have a special energy, and just their willingness to even help these type of people that I have met has been completely amazing.
Where was the first group that you encountered? Where was that?
My first group was actually in New England.
In New England.
Yes.
There seems to be a high incidence of witchcraft in New England. is that because of the Massachusetts thing, the witch burnings, the Salem?
Yes. I associate those together, yes.
Right. But it seems that kind of spread throughout New England. Now, we don't see too much of, well, I guess I'm wrong on that, because I did say that, you know, throughout the world, I mean, there's just folklore throughout the entire world. As I was doing a little investigating, almost every country, of course, has some type of folklore with witchcraft in it. But New England seems to be, well, kind of a high incidence of that. And why would that be?
I'm actually not sure why they would mostly be found in New England. Possibly, I want to say, past histories. History tends to repeat itself, and maybe that's where they feel the most comfortable and where they're not bothered. And like I said, they like to isolate themselves so that they aren't looked at in a harsh way or killed or have something negative happen to them.
Do they collect in certain countries, like other than, say, we're going to discard the New England area, in other countries of the world, like you say, Germany, Austria, Romania is known for, of course, for vampires. Is Germany, Austria area, is that a high incidence of witchcraft?
No, I really didn't find many at all. I keep moving around quite constantly to find new people and new things. But I do agree with you that there is a different type of level of witchcraft throughout the world, really. And it really is up to that own culture to see what they do with it and what they believe in.
So you found that they practiced slightly differently in these different parts of the world?
I do. I did find that they practiced it differently, and it's all up to what they believe in their culture and what their past has dictated.
There's certain rituals, though, that are standard. For example, the sweeping of the circle. And I believe that's where the broom came into it. Is that correct?
Yes, that definitely is correct. They would actually sweep the pentacle. And actually, the brooms were called besom, I believe.
Yes, the besoms.
Yes. They were called besoms, and they would just go ahead, clean the circle, and they, proceed with their ritual. But today, that's how we associate and stereotype witches with, the broom, the hat, and the whole costume.
And then there's like, I believe there's like for certain things, they'll sweep clockwise and others counterclockwise.
Yes, yes, that is correct.
And so people saw them, obviously, at some point, saw them doing these rituals, and it kind of, I guess, went along and became the mythical, magical Halloween thing of witches flying on brooms. Where did they get this flying?
There are witches that can transform themselves and actually jump from one place to the other.
Is that the same as shape-shifting, or is this different?
It is different, but I also would not consider it with flying. I actually have not encountered a witch that could just solely fly, and I have not heard of other witches that have encountered other witches that actually have that ability.
So there's no real ability to be flying through the air on a broom on Halloween night?
Yeah, no, I have not heard of any of that.
That would be absolutely ridiculous. But they can transport.
Yes, they can. They can transport themselves from one place to the other.
Kind of dematerialize and materialize somewhere else?
Yes, but they have to be very careful because they don't, depending on the type of witch, if the witch knows how to control this ability, then they can definitely place themselves where they want to be. But if the witch is inexperienced and doesn't know, they run the potential of actually coming back through an object. And if they did, they just kill themselves.
So there's a learning curve then.
There is.
And so when do they first discover? Do they discover in childhood that they're witches?
It really depends. Some of them have actually discovered it through childhood, and some of them discovered it through adolescence, early adulthood. I had heard actually of a witch who found out of her abilities through her first actual experience of intercourse.
Really?
Yes. It turned out that this witch has the ability to actually, she was not aware, but she can actually kill people.
No, like a Black Widow spider.
Yes. She accidentally caused a heart attack for her boyfriend, and he actually ended up passing away. So now she knows that she can't do certain things or be involved in certain ways. And so that's how she controls her own ability, but she's actually, I believe they referred her over to one of the houses that I was actually speaking to you about. So that they could help her, like I said, training them and bringing them over to the next world.
So Dee, when they discover young in life that they are a witch, are there, because most of us who were adolescents at one time and clumsy, is there witchcraft clumsy?
No, there is not.
Okay, so, even though they're a child, they're still pretty precise with what they're doing?
Yes, actually, extremely precise. If it was a child that was experiencing special abilities, you would definitely notice if something was being moved or if something, I mean, this is a baby, they have certain limitations, so it would be very easy to spot.
Do other witches come in and teach them?
If they find themselves, yes.
As a child, say a child discovers that they are, and is it possible for no one else in their family to be a witch? No, that wouldn't happen because you said it's hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
So would the parents, for example, the mother, call in other family relatives or other witches that she knows to help to train the daughter?
Well, it actually really depends on the acceptance of the ability. Even though it is passed down through generations, if this person just happened to have been adopted, they would have no knowledge that there is this kind of ability in their past history. So that would be pretty scary for somebody to barely be finding out.
Okay, so we're coming up on break, and we will be back. I'm Ian Morris.
This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. I'm Ian Morris. This is Nightcast. Dee Jones, our witch investigator from Hartford, Connecticut, is with us this evening. Dee, do the witches have a world council or something on that order, something like the United Nations?
They actually do have a head council, and they oversee these different houses that are actually in the United States.
So they have it for the United States. Is there a world organization?
I am not sure of that yet. I have not been able to link them, but I want to say that there is one because they do have a head.
Well, the reason I ask you that is because earlier in some of our earlier shows when we covered witches and witchcraft, we had heard that there was some type of world organization, world Wicca or witchcraft or witch organization. And we had heard that they have a world meeting and that the world meeting is in Ireland. It goes back to the Celtic witches. And but they didn't tell you anything about that.
From what I have heard, I do know that they do meet worldwide. They do meet, and it's about every 30 years. Or it's either that time frame or when it comes to replacing a head witch within the houses. So they actually do join together. But I'm not sure if it goes as far as worldwide, but I want to say that there is definitely a huge possibility.
Do you say every 30 years, do witches live longer than normal humans?
Yes, some have the ability to become immortal, actually. But in order for them to become immortal, they technically are not white witches anymore, and that really does fall in line with black magic.
Are there immortal witches running around?
There are very few, but there are immortal witches who have been here for centuries and still look as if they are 20, 25 years old.
But you say they're only the black magic witches, right?
Yes, yes. Because you have to sacrifice something that you truly, truly love and adore in order to obtain immortality.
Now, this organization that you say that's in the United States, in America, mm-hmm. in North America, they have a gathering as well?
Yes, they do. They gather every time the head of the household needs to be replaced, and they have an induction ceremony, and everybody does gather together.
Now, you mentioned before, the when they replace the head of the witches, it's because they are losing their powers.
Yes, it is.
And what happens to them once they lose their powers? Does it diminish until they absolutely have no powers, or...
Yes, it does. It diminishes completely until they have no power. And the only way that they can go ahead and regain their power is, once again, leaving what they believe, which is the white.
So the witches, when they lose their power, what happens to them?
They actually just become just like you and I. Once they lose their power, but this, we have to keep in mind that this is not for every witch. This is for the head witch.
Okay, but when the head witch loses her power, you mentioned something about sacrifice. Do they have to sacrifice something to get their power back, or do they just never get the power back?
No, they do. They have to sacrifice something prior to them losing their power. Otherwise, it is gone forever, and then they'll just be like you and me. But of course, they've lived with this power for so long that they aren't willing to give it up. They don't want to. It's been a part of them. So yes, sometimes if they want it bad enough, they will cross over with black magic and actually gain immortality through sacrifice, something that really, really, truly they hold with meaning.
Dee, what do they sacrifice? Do you know?
I have heard that they have sacrificed family members, babies. They have sacrificed themselves. They have sacrificed their souls. It has to be something immense in order for you to gain immortality.
This is shocking. What we're talking about, they actually have to kill someone?
Yes, and that's why it crosses over into bad magic.
I'm shocked. I'm actually shocked.
Some people crave power. They really aren't ready to let things go. And that's when they cross over and you get this spectacle, and they can be here for years and years.
Now, this is all what they've told you.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Right. I mean, they, of course, they're not going to let you witness anything like that. This is only what they've told you. Mm-hmm. But this is fascinating. I've heard that on Halloween, there are certain groups of people that that want witchcraft that will actually take babies up into the hillsides and sacrifice them and things. How true is that? Or is that true? Or have you even heard anything like that?
I have heard of just everyday people attempting to sacrifice things that they that hold true to their hearts in order to gain type of power or a higher level of power, but I don't feel like that has actually made a difference at all. Once again, these gifts are something that you are born with and something that you need to control. You can't just get them. And if you are trying to just get them, I feel like that's where it crosses over into voodoo territory and other types of black magic, because you are using the help of other spirits in order to get what you want. And that's not what these white witches do. They're just using the abilities that they were born with.
But the witches that sacrifice to get their power back, who do they sacrifice these things to?
They sacrifice these things to a higher spirit, an evil spirit, always.
And this kind of goes, okay, but it's not satanic?
No, it is not satanic. It is just an evil spirit from the underworld.
Then this goes back to paganism. It's something of the world. Is that right, or am I off base here?
No, yes, you're correct.
Okay, so it's kind of paganism. That's, you know, the air, the wind, water. They're sacrificing to kind of pseudo gods or something. Is that?
Yes, they are. But that's where they cross the boundary between white and bad, and whoever they are speaking out to and trying to bring back into this world in order to help them, they don't necessarily put that spirit away. So they're really just releasing more bad energy into this world.
So once they cross over, once they commit a sacrifice of that nature, they cross over from being a white witch to, quote, kind of black magic witch.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow, I had never actually heard of that before. Now, these witches that you were with, they told you this, correct?
Yes.
So how did you get them to confide in you and tell you this, but yet other things they won't? Where do they draw the line?
They draw the line within actual practices, any visual, anything that can actually, you know, any kind of evidence that I could bring back with me. That is something that they hold very, very dear, because once again, we don't know how everybody's going to react. We don't know how accepting everybody is going to be of their abilities. So I actually really had to gain a lot of trust. And I feel like with my type of personality, I really was very genuine and wanted to show them that I do not mean harm. And I'd like to enlighten other people and everywhere worldwide about what these people can do. And not only, you know, possibly do good things for our world, but if we cross that boundary, there could be a lot of bad things that could also be contributed to this country.
So what brought you, when you first started getting into the investigation of witches and witchcraft, what brought you to that? Do you think a spell was cast on you that brought you?
No, I actually do not think that any kind of spell has been brought upon me. I actually am very just intrigued about the supernatural, the different types of cultures and abilities and rituals and magic and just everything that intertwines with this type of topic. It just really intrigued me, and I wanted to go out there and find more, especially because I'm, through my research, hearing that they are becoming a smaller and smaller community. And before they go extinct, I'd actually like to find out a lot more.
Does Halloween or Hallows Eve have any significance in the witch community? Is it any type of special thing, or are there other special days? What did they tell you, like, but maybe they won't tell you what days they are that are special days where they set up meetings or that they do certain rituals?
Yes, I don't believe that they do celebrate Halloween. I believe that is something that we have drawn up. But I do know that they do rituals and practices as far as whenever one of their members either develops a new ability, or if they need to discuss something, or if they're getting a new head of a person, or they need to move, or they need to discuss something important. Those are basically the types of meetings that they do have.
How do they react when they go into or live in a town where people are constantly looking down upon them or against them or have some type of hatred for them? How do they deal with that?
They deal with it just like kids do every day when it comes to bullying. That basically really is what it is. It's people not being accepting of another person, and it's very difficult to deal with. On one hand, let's say you were born with this ability and it's passed through your family and they have explained this to you. At least you know what's going on and you can protect yourself. But let's say a person was sent for adoption and they are unaware of what their abilities are. You know, it's a fine line that crosses.
Do they retaliate by casting spells of people that have bullied them or people that have shunned them or done evil things to them within these towns where they live?
There has been, but I cannot definitely confirm that one does have to do with the other. Because once again, if there you have your white witch and then it crosses over into black magic, and once they go ahead and cast a spell on someone in an evil form, manner, or try to kill them, that crosses definitely a different boundary, and then it blackens their own selves.
Now, these, say like a group like the 11 or 12 that you were with for that period of time, mm-hmm. as a collective, when do they do a spell like ever together? And as a collective, my second question would be, are they much stronger in numbers if they do a spell together? I mean, is there such a thing as they can gain more power by combining all of their powers?
If the witches possess the same amount of power, the same ability, they are able to be stronger just by holding hands and chanting together or performing that ritual together. If they do possess the same ability, then yes, they can become stronger.
Why, if a town were, say, treating them bad, would they not all get together and resolve the issue in that manner?
Because then they're adding to the negative connotation that brings to the witches, really. They are white good magic, and they really do want the world to see what they can do and what they're trying, and what they're not trying to do. They're not trying to inflict any harm. They're trying to live their lives just like everybody else, and they haven't been given that opportunity yet.
Do you think that most witches try to put out positive rather than negative?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it depends on the person that they meet. If the person is more inclined, more open-minded, it'll be a lot easier to trust that person and slowly start you know, telling us more about themselves. But if they encounter someone who is off-putting, I don't think that they would be open at all. I'd feel like they would run the other way, you know, to safety.
So, Dee, what do you have coming up next as far as investigations on witches?
My next destination is New Zealand.
New Zealand. Very interesting.
It is. I'm actually going to be speaking to another house that I found over there, which has about maybe 20 women.
20 women.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all witches?
Yes, they are.
And so you'll be going down to the Southern Hemisphere for an investigation. New Zealand witches, that's actually fascinating.
Yes, I'm actually really excited to go down there. I've already spoken to a couple of the towns and gotten some background history, and I'm really interested and intrigued to see what they're going to teach me.
And Dee, you'll give us an update when you go down there and find out anything new.
Yes, definitely. You'll be hearing from me. I'll be giving you a call.
Well, Dee, we want to thank you for being with us this evening, our investigator of witchcraft and witches, Dee Jones from Hartford, Connecticut, joined us here on Nightcast. Our time is up for this evening, and so we'd like to thank you all for being with us. I'm Ian Morris. Good night, everyone.
This has been Nightcast. Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com.